The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From a beautiful intersection in Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files podcast feed, and you are here for the first ever official episode. There was a soft pilot, but this is the official episode of Hot Sizzler Nights. I'm Ken Knapsack, and our first guest for this wonderful show, it's a simple concept. Me, a guest, two all-you-can-eat salad bars at Sizzler, who are not a sponsor yet, because you can dream in America. It is Lon Harris.
Hey. Wow, what a delight to be on the first episode of Hot Sizzler Nights.
You know, and I hope you're not insulted that when I was thinking of my first guest, I thought of you.
How could I be insulted by that? Warms my heart.
We've had good times on this show. Sure. A life ranked about Curb Your Enthusiasm. We've done a life ranked about Reasons to Die Alone,
which we confirmed tonight was still the plan.
Still the plan. Still on the books. I mean, I've been fortunate enough to since then to find love, but I don't know.
That's right. In the time since we did that podcast, you have actually found love. That's magical.
Yeah. Congratulations to me. Not to her. I still feel for her. But
nor me, though.
Yeah. nor you.
And probably not. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So you work at Screen Junkies. You work at Rotten Tomatoes. You are known on the movie Trivia Shmodown as the Professor Lon Harris. A lot of people excited to see what that character can do. But more importantly, you had not been to Sizzler in a while.
Maybe ever. I feel like before tonight, I was like, you know, I bet I've only been to a Sizzler a few times in my life. Because we didn't go when I was a kid. My mom she's a little persnickety about restaurants, which restaurants she wants to eat at. Does not just not a let's go anywhere kind of person.
Doesn't just walk in into any restaurant.
We're Jews. I don't know if that helps the description at all, if you get where I'm coming from. But she likes what she likes, and that would be what we do. To this day, when she goes out to eat, she goes to like one of two places in the world.
I respect that.
So Sizzler was not on the list, so I didn't go as a kid. And then, you know, I live in Los Angeles, like not in the valley, in like the city of Los Angeles. There's not a lot of chain franchise joints.
No, no.
There's not a lot of Sizzlers. So I really think tonight might have been my Sizzler debut.
So happy for that. And I don't know how regional Sizzler is. I know it's definitely West Coast.
Yeah, I did not, because I grew up in Philadelphia and it was not a thing in Philly.
Yeah, so it is, and it's been around for 60 years. It's in its 60th year this year. It's an anniversary year.
The 60th anniversary. That's why you started this show, I'm presuming.
And I went as a kid a lot, and the memories of the cheese toast they serve are what bring me back.
Yeah.
You know?
It was delicious, I have to say. The cheese toast, the highlight of the meal. I like that it's usually you get like garlic bread at an Italian restaurant, and it's like good. It's like that hard Italian, like it's like baked bread. Yeah. And this is basically Wonder Bread, but with cheese and on one side.
The goot into it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
It's delicious. I don't mean to complain. It's funny that it's like you don't usually think of garlicking Wonder Bread. You usually think of garlicking like a loaf.
And the rule is we get the all-you-can-eat salad bar, but they have a menu. But you were shocked to learn that there's no sit-down here.
I mean, you
sit down, but after you order.
Here's what I thought. My perception going in was it was going to be sort of like one big step below like an Outback. Like it was a franchise neighborhood steakhouse or steak restaurant. So, I expected waiters coming around, taking your order, like that kind of more.
What can I get you, sir?
Yeah, right. I thought maybe somebody might call me sir today. I was really excited.
Not at the Sizzler, my friend.
Yeah, no, did not happen.
But the service was great. But
service was delightful. No, I did not realize it is a little bit of almost like a fast food experience when you get there. You're waiting in line. There's a menu on the wall. You go up to a window and you order.
Yeah, and then you pick your seat. And then a nice person comes around.
And after that, pure luxury. After that, the luxury experience sets in.
And what I love here, because their bread and butter, no pun intended, the cheese toast is great, is the retired age group.
Oh, sure.
Yes. The 16 above.
Yeah. They got their own menu.
Yes.
They were in line in front of us.
That's what I was saying. It's because the last time I went with Mark Riley, we were just going to grab a bite before we were recording over here, and then we had a pretty memorable experience. There was a lady yelling about the 6 pieces of shrimp on the plate versus the 16 in the picture.
She felt lied to by the promotional image.
Yes. Yeah. We had some wonderful ladies in front of us
who just couldn't figure out the Malibu chicken.
They were very curious about what the Malibu chicken was and how it was prepared. They wanted to know a lot of information about it. Do the chickens come from Malibu?
Is it a beach chicken?
It seems expensive to keep your chickens in Malibu. they don't know the difference.
It's a stay at a Malibu Lebowski chicken.
Yeah, they're not really enjoying the farmer's market. They don't appreciate the beach. You could keep the chickens in Chatsworth.
But I feel this is like an honest experience when you eat. Like, it's simple. It's direct. You walk up. You point to what you want. A nice person rings you up, and then you're off to the races.
It's very no nonsense. What you see is what you get. It's a pretty limited menu, honestly. It's like steaks and chicken and lobster for the people looking for the neighborhood steak and lobster experience.
People at cheap seats clap your hands. For the rest of you, just rattle your jewelry with your lobster.
Your steak and lobster, your surf and turf at the Sizzler together. I don't know, like. Because I'm sort of divided on that.
Yeah,
I feel like part of me feels like sometimes you just want your surf and turf and you don't want to make a big production. That's what Sizzler's perfect for. But kind of by definition, surf and turf is like, I'm going to have this on. I'm going to wait for a special.
A jacket will be used in eating this.
I don't need surf and turf on like a Tuesday. Right. That's not necessary.
And you're recovering from a flu. This was like your first meal back.
This was my first big meal post-flu.
Yes. You caught this thing going around that's like been destroying Southern California.
It is devastating. It's like an existential flu where it like makes you feel sad about your life. It doesn't just attack your body. It attacks your sense of well-being in the world.
And you went to your doctor and the doctor wasn't practicing anymore. It was so bad. The flu's been so bad your doctor ran away.
I don't have a like, here's my doctor because I'm a dirtbag and I don't take care of myself. So I needed to go like sign up for a doctor to go get checked out because I really thought like I'm going to get I thought I'm going to get bronchitis or pneumonia. I'm so sick. I got to see somebody so I can get that pill that's going to keep me from getting sicker. So I do the website and I find the doctor up the street from me and I make the appointment.
This is responsible adult stuff.
They make the appointment on the phone. I'm like, I'm going to say the name of the doctor. I'm like, I need an appointment for Dr. Ware. And they're like, no problem, 2:15. And then I show up at the office. It's a small office in Los Feliz. And I'm like, I'm here to see Dr. Ware. I have a 2:15. And they look at me like I'm asking for...
you're claiming that you came back from the future.
I was asking for FBI agents Mulder and Scully. They look at me like I'm crazy, and I'm like, I just made this appointment. They're like, Dr. Ware doesn't practice anymore. Not just like she's not here.
Like there's been a mistake,
sir.
She
doesn't. Do you ever see Paul F. Tompkins does that routine about the Stromboli, where he goes to a restaurant, he eats the Stromboli special, and it's delicious. And then he goes back the next week, and they're like, would you like to know the specials? And he's like, don't bother. I'm going to tell you what I want. I had the Stromboli last week. It was delicious. I want another one of those. And the waitress like goes white and she's like, sir, we have not served a Stromboli here in years. And he's like, I ate a ghost Stromboli. But that was what it was like. It's like, I made an appointment with a ghost doctor.
So you called.
I called.
It's like you went online and there's been some, the website hasn't been updated.
Well, all you do is you go and they're like, here's the doctor's phone number, jackass, and then you call them.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I was on the phone. It was like an hour later. The person who took the call was obviously still in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
And just didn't want to wanted me to be the asshole or something. I guess maybe they were embarrassed, like, you didn't know that this doctor doesn't work here? And they're like, oh, I'm not going to say anything and let this guy take the fall.
And it was like Dr. Ware's retired. Dr. Ware has another office. Dr. Ware's decided not to practice. They've asked her to leave the town.
Yeah, like malpractice. Like she left a scalpel in someone. She's not practicing anymore.
She's been dis-doctored.
Yeah, right. she's been undoctored.
You're like in a video game, like Red Dead Redemption. You've walked in. May I see the doctor?
Yeah.
We don't have one in this town. Yeah,
the doctor's been run out on the 6:30 stagecoach. So they had another, like, I had to suggest.
Right.
Because they're still staring at me like I'm an idiot. And I'm like, well, is there another doctor that could be like, oh, sure, go right in. Like,
oh, you wanted a doctor.
Why didn't you suggest that? Why do I have to be doing all, I'm sick. Like, can't you see that I'm sick?
Like you would have just grabbed your Kleenex, turned around, and went, well, that's how life goes.
How can I be managing your doctor's office, and I'm sick, and I've never been here before? So the other doctor.
So you get treatment. But your first meal back, and that's a big thing when you're sick.
Sure, yeah.
You got to return to normal.
I've been dreaming about my first meal back.
You're to return to normal. normal functions.
It was, you know what really saved my life this time was Frosted Flakes. Oh, I was just eating like a little handful of Frosted Flakes.
No
to
milk.
Get you through. No,
no. No spoon.
No, no, not at all. Just literal handfuls from the box of Frosted Flakes.
Like it's the fourth day of the apocalypse.
Well, because it was, you know, your life becomes 24 hours when you're sick.
Yes,
like the
right.
Day, you don't have a day night. It's not like, well, I'll go to bed at 10 and then I'll wake up at, I'm just going until I feel better. So every once in a while, you just get hit by that, like, oh, I feel sick because I haven't eaten, but right. Anything I
Nothing.
Eat is going to make me throw up and feel right. Gross. You certainly don't want Sizzler no. Then. I
no.
Can't imagine anything worse.
Well,
really.
Well that, you were actually, we were supposed to record this last week.
Right. When I was at the real peak of it, and
yeah,
I, it would have
there
been,
was just no way.
Oh, just foul. This. Right, you'd be gagging right now during the podcast.
So you returned to normal eating with Sizzler.
Sizzler
here.
Was my first. Well, still, I'll let you know tomorrow how,
yeah,
it, goes.
How it goes.
We'll do part two.
So you're saying it's kind of like a cruise ship? Yeah. How did you come?
I've been on two different cruises in my life. One was just a day cruise to Ensenada, and then one my uncle took a bunch of us on like a more lengthy cruise, through,
right.
Like a Caribbean cruise. We started in Fort Lauderdale, and we went and stopped in Puerto Rico, old San Juan, and then we went to St. Martin and St. Kitts, and then you go back. It's like a week on the ocean.
A high life. A lot of surf and turf in that life.
There is. Oh, yes. So when you're on a cruise ship, there's meal times. Well, on this particular ship that we were on, there's set meal times. Like if you show up between 6 and 8,
okay.
That's dinner. And here's your table. And it's really like a sit-down meal, and they'll bring you, like, they have specials every night, and it's like nice.
Bowling, yeah, it's good.
But the rest of the time when it's not like meal time,
right.
There's just a big cafeteria that's just open 24 hours. So whenever
gotcha.
You're on the ship, if you want something to eat, they're gonna feed you.
Yeah.
But it's usually this very Sizzler-esque kind of open where it's like salads and a little bit of pasta
yeah.
And some sandwiches.
Yeah.
But you're not getting the full cruise
the
ship
full thing.
Meal. Now, and that's what this reminded
this
me.
This reminds you of that?
Yes.
Well, so and I had someone tweet was like, when I promoed the show, Hot Sizzler Nights, and they're like, and I mentioned the salad bar thing. They're like, oh, how can you do the salad bar? You gotta get some meat.
This was a Ken from Chicago.
Ken
tweet.
From Chicago.
I saw this tweet.
Yeah, yeah. Ken from Chicago, longtime supporter listener.
Sure.
And I didn't want to write back. I didn't want to sound, you know, like I was
listen, idiot.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, sir. You've never walked into a Sizzler. Yeah, the salad bar provides you with ample life choices.
It is a salad and soup bar, but then, yes, there's like a whole, there's a side section, which is really where it gets cruise ship-y
fast.
Yeah.
And fast. And when you're because, I mean, there's mac and cheese, there's pasta, fried chicken.
Fried chicken wings, yeah.
A lot of things like that there. You're faced with a lot of choices at once.
Yeah. I think you're faced with one big choice that then leads to a lot of side choices. And that big choice is Mexican at the Sizzler? That's really the question.
Which I always cap my meal off with a little tostada action.
You dove right in. There was like,
oh, yeah.
It was like, there was some shredded pork, I think I saw.
It's a taco meat. And it's listed
queso.
As, yeah, queso, shredded pork, Spanish rice,
mm-hmm.
And taco meat. And it's just listed as taco meat.
Taco meat.
Just, there
from
you go.
From the free-range tacos they have out back.
From the Malibu beach chickens.
Rice, yes. All the taco meat is kept in Malibu.
Yeah, but before they get a little fried chicken pasta, you know.
How much?
Mm.
I'm almost positive that meat at some point is in a bag. Are you feeling like at some point there's a plastic bag involved in transporting
yes.
That ground meat? Yes,
yes.
I feel like
at some point in the preparation process.
It's
but it doesn't taste
bag.
Like it. But just know that it's in its past.
You took the jump. I did not brave the taco.
When faced in life those type of food choices all at once, do you go a certain direction?
I'll tell you what. I feel like there are certain world cuisines where if you don't specialize in that world cuisine, I'm not really interested in your take on it. Mexican is one.
Yeah.
Chinese and Thai would be another. Like
that'd
if you're not zeroing in on Thai food, your interpretation of Thai food's not that interesting.
Not needed in Lon Harris's life.
It's not. You know, it's like delis always, there's like the sandwich page, like the omelets,
yeah, yeah.
Or the bagels. And then you get to that page that's like ribs. And you're like,
yeah, I mean, yeah, but then like,
maybe. It's not a guarantee, but it's just like, I want you to specialize in barbecue right. if I'm going to eat barbecue.
It's a pick a lane type of situation.
Sure. Whereas like a little, like a thing of meatballs or a little thing of cheesy pasta, like yeah. you might be able to jump into that.
Right.
I don't judge.
What I think is the underrated hero in all this is the line cook that can jump from Chinese to like fried chicken to an omelet.
Just equally
in
adept
an hour.
In each one. Yeah. It's like there's a place here in LA called Barney's Beanery.
Oh, Barney's is great, yes.
And Barney's, it has like a full like Sunday Times is the menu.
Yeah.
It's on newspaper print and it is the length of a newspaper.
yeah, it's big.
And every page is like a whole kind of cuisine that they make independently of all the others. Like one page would just be like pita sandwiches and you're like, all okay. right. Yeah. Yeah, sure. We're going to. All right. And then the next page would be like sushi. And like,
yeah.
I don't. You
yeah.
shouldn't do that.
Yeah. And usually you're drunk enough there where you're just like, if you're at a Barney's Beanery,
yeah.
some alcohol's being consumed.
Oh, 100. I've never been in a Barney's Beanery and not been at least there's semi-intoxicated.
There's been times where we'd go after a show or something, schmoes know, and we'd head to the Barney's in Burbank. And like, I'd be like, oh, I'm heading home. I don't want to drink. Then after a while, you just sit there. You're like, I need one.
I'm gonna
have to take one.
It's like, I don't know, they pump beer into the atmosphere and it starts seeping in through your pores yeah. at a certain point.
Yeah.
It's also, I'd like to stress also for the record,
yeah.
the food at Barney's is not particularly, it's not like better than Sizzler. It's like on
no,
a Sizzler
yeah,
level.
You're right. Yeah.
But they do, admirably, they do try to take on like any dish that's ever been prepared in the world. The cooks at Barney's are like, we're going to try it.
We're going to try it.
We may not nail it, but we're going to fucking give it a whirl.
These are the heroes, man. These
they really
are the heroes
are.
Making it happen here. Yeah. And then you went with traditional salad.
I had a salad. I had right. some potato salad on the side. It was actually pretty good.
Oh, I didn't see that. You know, I didn't go to that side.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting because on your side, they had all the dressings.
Right.
And then on my side, they had all the like non-traditional salads.
Yeah.
So there was like all the salad ingredients, but then there was like potato salad
yeah.
and egg salad and like, I want to say like ambrosia salad.
Yes. And there's a custard. If you go one level two, there's a custard
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Oh, I saw
it. It's not for salad. It's just custard.
It's just custard, but yeah, maybe on your salad. I don't know. In the 50s, they had some weird ideas.
Weird to say, yeah.
I was tempted because I've never had that. That's
yeah.
like a very like Gentile-y white ambrosia salad. Like it's in old movies.
Yeah.
Whenever
yeah.
there's like a banquet, there's always like, can I offer you some ambrosia salad?
Well, you can live your dreams now.
And I was tempted, but I didn't. It's got like fruit and marshmallow, but it's also a salad.
Yeah.
I don't know quite what to make
I don't,
of it.
Do your salads, do you like, are you a traditional salad man, or do you like to toss in a nut or a fruit?
I'm not a nut and a fruit person in my salad.
This is why we're friends.
I want a couple different kind of leafy greens.
Yeah.
Maybe some cucumber.
That's like, close. Yeah, that's
go,
the closest
you know, like,
to fruit I'll go.
Sure, like tomato maybe
yeah,
or
yeah.
like, you know, beets or something, but not like they're like the tangerine in your salad.
yeah.
Like the Asian chicken salad.
No,
thing.
No.
I'm not, yeah. I
like
don't.
Shaved walnuts and a raspberry.
Apple. Like that's a thing.
Apple, yeah.
That was a thing in LA like a few years ago with like the fine dining. Everything was like apple and pear salad. It's like, nah, it's not.
No, that's lettuce.
A fruit bowl.
Yeah, that lettuce to avocado toast. We don't need that.
No, well, man.
My salads are very, and you know, maybe they're on the boring side. That's a fair criticism, but like my salads are what you'd find in like a cafeteria in high school. Just some
iceberg
lettuce,
healthy
shredded carrots,
lettuce.
Two croutons, and like mm-hmm. too much salad dressing.
That's a salad. That's an American salad. That's what we mean in America when we say salad.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of this shaved almond,
no.
sunflower seed stuff.
No.
I don't know.
And I'm not casting aspersions on a kale salad or anything like
actually,
that.
Actually, I know it's very douchey LA, but like yeah. a kale salad can be
good,
good
right?
sometimes. It's a little bitter, but if you had the right dressing on it, I also think, and again, terminally LA, I apologize,
yeah.
A quinoa salad can be very satisfying.
I haven't gone into that yet. What is that? What is the...
Well, you know, quinoa is like, it's a grain, but
yeah.
it's one of those like ancient grains. So it's like kind of puffy, but
right.
it's a grain. It's like sort of purplish. You can,
yes.
you can visualize
yeah,
what
I can,
saying.
It almost looks like fish eggs, but it's not.
Right. That's yeah, exactly yeah. what it looks like. But like if you mix it up with something sort of a light dressing, you can put like a couple other ingredients in there. And actually, it's very refreshing. It's a nice way to do a salad that's not so lettucey and roughage oriented.
But that's to me, that is kind of the point. I'm all for all well,
it,
up
it
for that.
It doesn't feel like eating a salad, but it feels like eating a nice, tasty, light side right. that's not bad for you.
Right, right. That seems like the way to go. So you salad, you got the soup.
I got the chicken noodle soup, which was very nice to as a sick person.
Yeah, because that was actually your first. You went there first.
Oh sure, I'm still in sick mode. So like chicken soup, even like. And yeah. this was, you know, it's like Progresso chicken soup or whatever. But even that is like, it's so comforting when you're sick. Even so a nice warm. Bowl of Progresso.
So warm soup. Inside.
It's warm.
All these food choices.
It's like carrots. And it just feels like that's what you yeah. should be. Your body like is ready for it when you're yeah. sick.
And what I like about this type of restaurant is that it just, it's not pretending to be anything else.
Oh, it is. There's, certainly not. No.
There is no pretension there.
Zero pretension.
Pretension there. Some cheese like, toast in a nice bar.
I mean, it really is. They have fused the fast food sensibility
right.
with the kind of food you would eat at like a low-end steakhouse.
Yeah.
And they really have pushed those two things together as close as you can push them.
It's nice and it's comfortable. And it's
sure.
I can see I've only ever eaten at Sizzler with somebody. Family, friend.
Sure.
And I noticed there was a guy halfway through our meal, he joined in the same section, which I thought was weird.
I picked up on this as well, and I
yes, agree
with you.
And he was sitting alone. But he was too close for a wide open restaurant.
Exactly. It was if it was a crowded night at Sizzler, that wouldn't have been weird at all. It's just like, well, here's an open table. I'm going to crash here. But there was whole sections of the restaurant that were completely open.
Wide open. It was the movie theater thing.
And he chose a table like not next to us, but like near enough that he could hear what we were saying.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you need to be?
What
right
were you
here
doing? And you saw my Diet Pepsi sitting there on the table.
He knew full well what he was doing.
But he looked like a man. I think there's a certain amount of self-assurance and comfortableness with yourself as a solitary human that you can go to Sizzler by yourself.
Well, right. I mean, I think that's playing on the how well it's fusing the fast food. Because yeah. I'm not a guy. I would not go to like a sit-down restaurant
by myself.
I've been single for a while, but I just don't have that. I'm just not.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
would just rather pick something up or get something delivered or go to a supermarket. That just would occur to me before I'd be like, I'm going to go sit at the Cheesecake Factory and read a book. I'm just not that guy. But I would go to like a Jack in the Box.
Right, right.
And for 5 minutes and like be disgusting and wolf down something gross.
Jumbo Jack.
Throw something disgusting and greasy.
I used to go to a Chili's, the one in Northridge. I used to go by myself a lot. But I'd go in the bar. And I think that's
right. That
different.
Also is that's very different.
Different, yeah.
A guy hanging out at a bar—that's you're just a guy in a bar.
Just a freewheeling man at a Chili's bar.
That's you're just being cool.
But you think you could find some comfort in going alone here?
I feel like I'd more be inclined to go to a Sizzler alone than like a Chili's alone.
Yeah.
Anytime you got the waiter coming over, it's like now here's this person who's intimately aware of me being alone.
You can't have that.
I don't know why I'm self-conscious about eating alone. Like, I'm not self-conscious about going to like, the movies alone. I love going to the movies
alone.
That's
a good test, because I know some people just absolutely won't.
Honestly, and this is weird to say, in a weird way, and I love going to the movies with people. I'm social.
Yeah.
But I almost prefer the action of going to the movies alone.
Yeah.
Which
I get
is,
that.
I like being alone at the movies. You get to decide where you're going to sit on your own.
Yeah.
You get to sort of make your own schedule, get where you want to be when. And when you're watching a movie, you're not talking to the people you're with anyway.
Right. There's almost no point. Yeah. Right. I'm lucky. A girlfriend that I love going to the movies with because we share the same movie going sensibilities. She might defer to me on certain things. She knows I got a crampy knee, so I can sit on the end there and not get in trouble for that, you know. But I've in the past, just with even just friends, I've had issues where I so enjoy going to the movie alone that when I'll go to the movies with them afterwards, like I'll pull up my phone to tweet or something, and I'd like get in trouble, like. We're not talking. We're not communicating. I'm like, I don't even know if I want you here. Like,
yeah. You know? No, it's a lot of fun to go see a movie alone. It's very satisfying. And I like, too, that then it's like I don't know what everybody else thought until I get back on home and on the internet.
On the internet.
Like, I got my time to think about. Like, I went to see Three Billboards outside. Like, before I got sick alone. And I had like the whole time going home to like think about it. By the time I got home, I was like, I know what I thought about that movie.
Yeah, I figured it out.
Did not like it.
Did not like it.
No.
A lot. I've heard that.
For a while I was like the only one, and right. now I'm slowly starting to see other people online sort of that had the same kind of
curious.
Reaction.
I know Bernardin's not a big fan of it either out there.
No, I had the same kind of issues with it as Bernard. Yeah. I saw his tweets, and he and I are pretty much
simpatico on that. But all this to say that now you may have found a location that if you need to dine by yourself.
Correct, because it's got that jack-in-the-box magic of like, I can go up and just tell the person what I want, not make a ton of eye contact them. And then I can just go throw stuff on the plate, sit in the corner. I don't have to interact with people. I can just, in my own world. That's perfect.
Wouldn't you be afraid? My self-consciousness would start to emerge if I was going back for like the third or fourth salad bar helping by myself.
I mean, as a overweight guy, I am always aware of being a glutton in public. Even at the movie, we were just talking about the movies. Yeah. Like, I'll go get a small popcorn if I'm by myself.
Yeah.
But even if I was in the mood for a medium, you don't want to be the big guy, wolfing down like the big thing of popcorn by yourself. Just not. I'm very aware of that.
Yeah.
So I would never do that. And like candy, like I don't eat a ton of candy anyway, but like I hate eating candy in public as a fat man. There's no dignified. It always looks like I'm like the doofus,
the dude.
Like Hooter from The Simpsons. There's no way as a fat person to eat candy and not look like that.
Oh, the chocolate is so good.
It's not possible.
I know what you mean.
I'm like constantly like, oh, I'm going to get a little bit on my nose.
Do you feel that way eating in the car?
Well, yeah, I don't. Yeah. I try not to. I'm aware of looking like I'm like, oh, he can't get enough. Look at him.
That's where I need to get better at because I will, you know, my affliction with 7-Eleven is well known. I'll grab a sandwich. Yeah. And it's like, I'll even go to Del Taco, not as much anymore. I've tried to cut that down there. But I'll get the Double Del cheeseburger and eat it on the ride home. Now, it's not out of the ordinary to eat a hamburger while you're driving, right? They're usually, you can grab them in one hand, messy.
It's a good driving food, honestly.
Good driving food, yeah. Especially if you can squish it down. But the Del Taco one comes in like a cardboard package, like it's a McDonald's thing from the 1980s.
Right, yeah,
you have to like unfurl the package.
Like an unboxing.
Unbox it. It's like doing an unboxing here. And it's cumbersome, but I stick through and I'm in my head. I'm like, I look like the weird guy just shoving food while he's driving.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I try not to eat that much fast food anyway, just because it's terrible for me. I'm old now.
Allegedly.
Can't really get bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, your body just stops bouncing back at a certain point.
it does.
And you're just like, nah, we're just like,
we're
doing this.
We're spreading.
Yeah, now it's just over. I am. I'm self-conscious about eating really bad for me foods in public.
I
just feel like I look gross.
I mean, I think in one way I understand it because I share it too, but we shouldn't shame ourselves.
I know I shouldn't. And at this point in my life, honestly, it's like, been long enough.
Who cares?
Who am I trying to impress?
Would there be a candy that you would dive on into? Just like,
I don't mean to say I never eat. Like, I do. I still overcome this and eat candy because I'm a, you know, I like candy and like, I like sweet things.
You've overcome this obstacle.
Sure. You know what I really love is Junior Mints.
Oh, yeah.
Junior Mints are like really legitimately one of my favorite candies.
Especially if you have like a cavity brewing. And the mint, there's that certain like white hot heat from the mint.
Right. Oh,
it just gets too much.
Brutal.
Just goes right to the cavity, I always find. I know it might also be the sugar there. We closed out with dessert too tonight, though.
We did. We had, yes. We went to the sundae bar.
Yeah.
It's like, what is it? Is that ice cream? I feel like it's like a frozen yogurt.
I don't know what was in my bowl.
I feel like it was not ice cream.
It was like soft served, but it was slightly.
It's goopy soft
serve. Goopy soft serve.
But it was almost like not even the consistency of actual ice cream.
Yeah.
It was like, I feel like it was like one of those ice dairy frozen dessert mix type thing.
Probably from a bag.
Yeah. Again, maybe, hopefully not from the same bag as the taco meat.
And then you enjoyed bread pudding.
They had this little thing of bread pudding, and it looked like a thing of like apple pie almost.
Yes,
maybe.
Yes. You could make yourself quite the dessert.
And I tried the bread pudding. We just finished about it. I'm like, I don't like to eat a lot of sweets. I'm too fat. And I'm like, and I had the bowl of ice cream with the bread pudding. And I have to say, the bread pudding was, of everything we ate, I would say that was the best tasting thing.
That comes out the highest score for
you. I think the bread pudding was the thing where it's like, is this the closest to ideal bread pudding?
Right.
That was as close as the Sizzler got.
Did that kind of surprise you? That was the item?
It surprised me. No, you don't think of bread pudding as being a thing and you're just going to like whip up like... That's not one of the simple. Like I had foods that should be much simpler.
Simpler.
Chicken noodle soup. It's like literally you pop open the Campbell's can and you dump it in the bowl. But no, I think they nailed the bread pudding.
They nailed the bread. That's like sticking the landing.
They've got like some old English nanny back there. Mrs. Winterbottom was making up the fresh bread pudding right when we got there.
Yeah, I did not go. I just can't do bread pudding.
Man, bread pudding's delicious.
I don't know what. I think it's the bread, and I love bread, and I love pudding.
Yeah, well, it's not really pudding.
That's the problem. I think as a kid, when it's stuff is put in front of you as a kid, oh, this is bread pudding.
It's the British pudding.
Yeah.
It's not what the Americans, we mean this like goopy, dairy, thick, creamy thing.
Yeah.
That's our pudding.
That's much like our salads.
It's delicious, don't get me wrong, but the Brits have the pudding means an entire, I don't know what it means over there, but it means like thing, it's more like a meal.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean
like a casserole.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's
a sweet bread casserole is what
that's
it is.
And when you're a young kid and like a sweet is sold to you or your parents are like, we're going to have this, this thing and you find out it's bread. And like casserole,
it's
I just
like
couldn't
remember. Dessert run. French toast with like chocolate in it. It's like
see,
the
maybe,
best
maybe see if it had been described to me like that.
Oh man, it's so good.
Early on, like I love eggnog now, but as a kid, my parents were like,
I don't like. This is definitely a Jew thing that I didn't grow up. It's not my holiday.
Yeah, it's not. It's not a. Yeah, yeah.
But eggnog is disgusting. Can we just be honest? Every time I have it, and I'm like, this is gross. People are like, well, you got to really have the good stuff. I'm like, why are you guys never drinking the good stuff then?
Why you never pick it up? It's like, is it like sushi? Oh, you haven't had good sushi.
Yeah, it is. It is a lot like that. Wait, if you don't like, I like sushi, but you take people somewhere and they don't like it, you're like, you gotta have like, good. You gotta go to the good place. To get the real
then
sushi.
Take me to the good place. But
yeah,
eggnog.
Like, every time I've ever eaten, and I'd be like at a nice like suburban party where somebody made it homemade versus like somebody's pouring it out of a thing from the grocery store.
Yeah, out of a Knutson's carton. Yeah.
Any situation, I always think it tastes disgusting. It's not good.
I see. I will. Well, you'll have your bread pudding. I'll have my eggnog.
I mean, I really do think it is like when you grow up and Christmas and it's like nostalgia thing.
Might be
that you associate
it's
eggnog
holidays,
with that.
Yeah.
And that's why people like it. It can't be the flavor.
It's not good. You might be. It's also It's so sweet sometimes it knocks you on your feet.
But I also think there are just some things like Jews just don't like that Christians like. It's true. Like mayonnaise is the number one dividing line.
Like Jesus?
We hate him. I've never met a Jew that loves mayo.
Right. That seems. But I mean, like a nice Jewish deli, I would associate deli and mayo, but
nah,
no, not there.
Mustard. The Jews are putting mustard on things you're putting mayo on. Yeah.
So okay.
Like you can see, like a Christian person or a Gentile have like a big turkey sandwich with mayo on it.
Yeah,
it's
so
just
good.
Repulsive. just like tuna. Okay, you got to put a little mayo.
You got to get your mayo.
But
in
then
it.
You can't when you're eating a tuna sandwich. You shouldn't taste the mayo.
There should be a tuna to mayo to if you're going with the relish.
The ratio should be low enough that you're tasting the tuna. And the tuna flavoring's not the mayo. If I could taste the mayo, it's gross.
Right, right. I don't like my tuna too busy. I like some good, meat and bones.
The tuna. You want to be tasting the tuna, not the mayo.
Right.
So yeah, but a turkey sandwich with mayo is like, ugh, what? Why? Or when they do burgers with mayo, like what do you come
it
on?
It does seem no. I've had that. I you know, but it's like
it's a mustard and ketchup situation all the way.
A little relish there, maybe. I think isn't it like Jack in the Box, like a good jumbo Jack?
Yeah, they're
mayo
throwing.
On, right?
Except when I go there, I'm like no mayo,
no mayo, sir. I am a Jew. I am a Jew, sir. That's fair. That makes sense.
Just look at the beard. Does this look like I want mayo in this? No.
I don't want to eat this in my car, and I don't want this mayo. That's
now
good.
I'm really, you're doing the Jackie Mason. I don't want to serve it here, and I don't want it over here, and I don't want to be under a vent.
but we did it. We did it, sir.
We did it.
You did it. You experienced Sizzler.
I finally made it to Sizzler.
Any closing thoughts on your experiences at the Sizzler?
It was a good meal. You leave and you're very full and satisfied because you really feel like if you weren't, you could have gone back out for another round.
Right, you could have gone back out there.
Like, again. I didn't have to leave until I was all ready to leave.
And there's, like, I enjoy, like, my final thought, I enjoy the final, what I know is going to be my final run. It's like Memphis Belle. I get this mission, I get to go home.
Right.
You know, big parade, celebrate. Yeah. John Lithgow's trying to send me on a tour, and that's the final run.
Yeah, so you're just like, Leaving it all on the table.
You got to be careful. Lon, you are one of my favorite people. Very funny. You work on a lot of things. I know you do. You said you're over part of the Screen Junkies team.
Sure, yeah.
Got a lot of things there. Where else can they find you? What else are you working on?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at LONS. That's always the place to go. I'm working on some Easter egg videos and stuff for Rotten Tomatoes as well. Mm. So that's fun. I'll share those. Check those out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, inside.com. We do newsletters, so you can go there too. And
newsletters, I love it. I might have to check on.
Why do the Inside Streaming newsletter, which is about like what to watch on all the streaming platforms? So it's pretty helpful. I write little reviews.
You're helping the world.
I try and do what I can.
One salad bar at a time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it for the first ever episode, official one of Hot Sizzler Nights. I've got guys, ladies, listeners. I've got people lined up. I got people writing me saying.
I saw. You have people on Twitter like, I want to go to Sizzler.
I want to go to Sizzler. I've got people who might even be flying down to come down to Sizzlers. I got people cross town. Our friend Joe Starr wants a hot Sizzler night.
He's got
This is going to be a thing. It's going to be a limited run here on the Knapsack Files podcast feed. You can find the feed in a lot of places. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, working on some other stuff, some exciting locations, Stitcher as well, and Podomatic, which is my home for the podcast. They got Podomatic Mobile, too. If you're out and about, check it out there. I do have the Patreon page. Check out that there. Got some rewards like a Raiders of the Lost Ark commentary track. We did that just for Patreon listeners. Might release it to the general public here in a bit, but the Patreon members decided that movie for me. So that's it for Lon, for Sizzler. Not a sponsor yet. As long as they keep making that bread pudding, we'll see you next time here on Hot Sizzler Nights.